Susan and I have reached kind of a stage in our life where we're empty nesters, and we really wanted to spend time investing in young couples. That's really what our heart's passion is, the first ministry that we've done together. We found the best way to do the groups is to do it in teams and share leadership. You can mentor people or apprentice people at the same time, so we try to find ourselves at least one other couple where we basically share the leadership in the group as we develop it.
Jeff asked if we would co-lead, and the idea behind it was that if one couple could host and another couple could prepare the lesson for that week, that it would be an easier load to carry. The thing that Jeff did that was unique in my experience of probably 15 years of leading small groups is he invested a lot of time with me personally.
And so having another leader that you can co-lead with gave us the ability to, you know, flip gears in a moment and say, hey, you need to take it over tonight. And our group didn't suffer for it because whatever we were teaching, whether he was leading or I was leading, we both knew what the material was and were prepared to, you know, take it over.
There was a lot of times when we met together that I would ask Jeff, you know, how do you think that went? What do you think the response of the group was?
We would bat off each other and kind of debrief ourselves. How did that go? What worked? What didn't work? And we looked at the material that we were going to be teaching and tried to figure out how we could adjust it. In addition to that, when we would meet, we went beyond just the lesson, just the group. We invested in just getting to know each other. To be authentic in group was very important to both of us, to open up our lives, to be honest and open. As a result, we grew quite a friendship that I don't think would have grown out of any other avenue.
In the past, in leading groups, when asking for advice or help or some direction, I would ask either our small group leader at the church or a pastor, what resources would you like us to use? What advice would you give us? And this was the first group that I have co-led with somebody that had done it more than I had, that had more experience. And so for me, the biggest gift that having a mentor was is having somebody encourage me in it. It really fills your cup. It really gives you a lot of energy and helps keep you motivated.
Brother Larry, thank you so much for sharing. You've helped me on several levels this morning. Number one, I've always wanted to be a part of a black church. Can I just say that? And I got to sit next to Larry this morning, just spirit-filled man worshiping, amen. And the next thing I just love is the saxophone. And to put those two together in one service, I got to experience it twice today. Just praise God. Amen. Woo. You know, they ask you out there for a CD. Do you have one? Don't have it with you, but he's got a CD. Man, we would love to have some more of that, brother. That was awesome. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 8. I want to also welcome those who are joining us online this morning. It's always a pleasure for you to be with us today, a special day to have Chaplain Larry Jones with us. A couple of announcements that I too wanted to add. Remember that Celebrate Family Day is coming right up. That is September 4th at Lowell Park. You'll want to make your sign-ups back there at the sign-up sheet for canoes. The men's breakfast starts at 6:30. The canoe trip starts at 8, pushing off from Grandy Tour. The treasure hunt starts at 10:45. And all this happens at Lowell Park, so except for the canoe push-off that happens in Grandy Tour. Then the picnic is at noon. Family games at 1 o'clock and some other family games from 2 to 4, 9 square in the air. And I hope that you can participate in that. It's been a wonderful 12-year tradition here. Can you believe it's been 12 years already? And it's a wonderful event because it's a time for all of us to be able to just invite our friends and family. Who doesn't want to go to a picnic on Labor Day? Amen? And there's always so much food there, and it's just a wonderful time to get together. It's just, yes. And our group just gets bigger and bigger all the time that attend that event, and so it's wonderful. I also want to share that we will be starting a midweek prayer service on Wednesdays coming in September. This For those of you who've been tracking with the discipleship training, we're going to model the prayer service as a prayer cell, which means that just as you saw in the video, it would be our hope and goal and vision that at least two families from here at Living Well would begin to host small groups, specifically in the model of a prayer cell, because all of us have friends and family that have not yet come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. These are intercessory moments of prayer, and they range from 45 minutes to an hour long, no longer, so that the kids in the host home can go to bed and get off to school in the morning without major interruption to their day. There's no food. It's just getting together for prayer. But we're going to practice that here every other Wednesday night. It will be the second and fourth. Is that correct, Jeanette? The first and third Wednesdays of every month here, and then second and fourth at Lost Lake. I want to invite you specifically this Wednesday night, 6:30 out at Lost Lake. Chaplain Jones is going to tell us more about the prayer ministry that we can be involved in, the intercessory prayer. And so that's going to take place at 6:30 on Wednesday night at Lost Lake, and we will be praying, and Jeanette will be leading us in some additional training that evening as well. For those of you who pray at other times of the week or are praying at home, thank you. We understand that prayer happens and should happen all the time, amen? So just because you may not be able to make it on Wednesday nights doesn't mean I think that you're not praying, amen? I appreciate the prayers. We've survived and have thrived, and God has blessed, and that doesn't come without prayer, amen? So, but if it works for you, and if you need to adjust or tweak your schedule to make it to those meetings, I want to encourage you to do so, because we find that all the time, we need to get on our face before God during the week. It can carry us through for the rest of the week. No Limits Discipleship Retreat is happening September 22nd through the 24th. Our junior high and senior high students, we strongly recommend just to enjoy. Remember, Pastor Nathan is going to be with us and going to be preaching that Sunday morning as well. So Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday, you're going to enjoy hearing from Pastor Nathan, who has been planting Living Well Church in DeKalb and pastors the First Church of the Nazarene there in DeKalb as well. It's going to be good to hear from Pastor Nathan and Sarah. Amen? Amen. Yes. Come to our scripture this morning. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. And when he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village." This breaks a trend. A perfectly spotless healing trend of Jesus to be able to whip up a miracle at instantaneous, and as Mark says, immediately he leaped to his feet, or immediately he saw again, or immediately the miracle happened. And then you've got this. It's like, couldn't Jesus get it right the first time? I had a gentleman come up to me right after the service, the previous service, and he said, "Pastor, I just heard a medical doctor talk about this miracle." He said he's a Christian, and he told me, he said, "The beautiful thing about this is that there are surgeries that can take place that for some people, surgeries can happen where their sight is restored." And he said the first step in that surgery, the first initial result is that people begin to see, but they see upside down. And so you can begin to see, we've been told that the brain has to adjust to what's coming through the eyes, which inverts everything. The eyeball inverts everything. And so we began to think, what was this guy seeing? Well, if you think about a tree upside down, you think of, I see people, but they look like trees walking around upside down. Second miracle, of course, is the second phase of that miracle is Jesus touching his eyes again and the man seeing clearly. So what do we do with this miracle that is atypical? What is Jesus trying to communicate to us in breaking a perfectly beautiful instantaneous healing trend, and then there's this? I think it has everything to do with process, and I don't get that because I think it is. If we look at the context of this miracle, we're going to see that Jesus is pointing his disciples to observe more than an initial understanding of who Jesus is, but a deep understanding where we not only receive him in faith, but we begin to walk in obedience to that faith. Let's remember that this healing of this man comes after Jesus feeds the 4,000 and feeds the 5,000. Remember last Sunday? Jesus had no mercy on those guys. He just continued to drill down as those guys were in the boat and they realized that they had forgotten to bring bread. Now this immediately follows Jesus healing the 5,000 and healing the 4,000. And you remember, Jesus runs them back through the miracles and he says, how many basketfuls were left over when we fed the 5,000? And the disciples said, 12. How many basketfuls of bread were left over when we fed the 4,000? And they all said, 7. And he said, listen now. Jesus said, do you still have eyes but fail to see? Do you have ears but fail to see? Are you so dull that you lack understanding and you're still not getting it? And that drill down of Jesus continuing to go down and down and down and getting at the real heart of the matter, the real issue. Of course, that's what every interviewer has to do. To go keep on asking questions, to get to the heart of the matter. You see, there was more going on than Jesus feeding the thousands. What Jesus was helping the guys understand, that in him was everything they would need for life and for ministry. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So I look at this typewriter and it's a reminder of me of the process. Back when we were going to college, Jeanette helped me. We didn't have computers and we didn't have, man, I'm really sounding old. Back then we didn't have computers. We didn't have word processors. We had typewriters. And we had to learn to write a 10-page paper on paper with a pen. And you couldn't just rearrange words like I do today with the word processor. It's so handy. It's really a helpful tool. But what learning to have to think ahead and structure my presentation and plan to put my words that were flying around up here down on paper was far more challenging than I understood when I first entered college. I had to submit to the process of discipline for a reason. Can you hear me all the way back? So what is this process that Jesus has you in right now? Let's talk more about it. But first, Mark chapter 8, verse 11. Probably we don't have that on the screen, and that's okay, but it goes back to the Pharisees come to Jesus. This is Mark chapter 8. Now, I don't know if you've been keeping count or not, but this is Jesus' 23rd miracle. And the disciples have been witnesses to it all, and so have the Pharisees, because good news travels fast. Amen. Verse 11 there, the Pharisees came to him and began to question Jesus to test him, and they asked him for a sign from heaven. So I want us to understand that 23 miracles later, the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, if you could just show us something. If you could just give us a little something for us to, that would wow us. You know what I'm saying? If you could just give us a little something, I'm sure that would be enough. That would help us overcome this doubt that we have that you are really the Messiah. If you could just give us a little something, Jesus, I'm sure we'd be able to come with you. And Jesus said, at this point, he just leaves the Pharisees. He starts ministering directly to the 12, who were still not getting it either. The context of this passage is not that as they grow in their faith, they're going to learn more about Jesus and they're going to get more understanding, and then they're going to grow a little more and they're growing their faith. The context of this passage is, you ought to have this by now. That's why Jesus was drilling down and he said, do you still not understand? I went home last Sunday and I'm like, man, I must have been a little hard on them. And then I thought about how hard Jesus was on the disciples when he was drilling down and he said, do you have eyes but still fail to see, ears that are there but they're not working? Do you still not get it? You see, faith is a choice. We have been given the gift of faith orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. It's a Holy Spirit orchestrated event. But you have to choose to walk in it. Amen? Amen. You see, the Holy Spirit says, here I am in my power and my manifestation. You see me for who I am. God says in Romans chapter 1, all men are without excuse in Romans chapter 1. Because clearly from the beginning, all creation witnesses to the glory and creative ability of God. So the context here is, you've seen it all. We've all seen everything we could possibly need to see and more. And Jesus says, guys, it is about the bread, but there's more. I am the bread maker. I can make anything you need. But guys, do you still not see the deeper point that he's trying to make? This is where we're at this morning. This is the process that we must participate in to grow. Amen? Amen. Faith is a choice that we must make to walk in once the Holy Spirit leads us. And he leads us each to a point of decision. But we must make that decision. We must choose to make the decision to place our faith in Jesus for salvation. But you know, I think that's the easy part. Because after all, I'm giving God everything that I don't want anyway. I don't want my sins because that's going to take me to hell. And that's where many of us stop our growth. And we can live 40 years a baby in Christ because we've not seen, understood, and we've not moved to that understanding that, hey, wait a minute. God is asking me not only to allow me to take my sins upon His own Son at Calvary, He's asking me to give me everything, to surrender to Him everything that I really hold precious to me, everything in my world that I still want to be Lord over. He's asking me to surrender to His Lordship. And Jesus says, I can make bread, guys. You've seen me do it. And we're all here in the boat. And everybody's wondering, oh, we're not going to have enough to eat. Jesus is like, quit asking that question. You've seen enough. You should understand by now. There's more to this than you getting your needs met for today. It's about a lordship issue. It's about walking in the faith and obedience that you have been shown. Amen. And they still didn't get it. But that's the point. The point that Mark is trying to make as he records what Jesus did. We now come to Bethsaida, the house of the hunt. I don't know how that applies, but that's the literal translation of Bethsaida. Here's a miracle that's performed in two stages. It's not because Jesus' batteries were low. It's not because He didn't do something quite right the first time He touched Him. Okay? It's because... You got to get this. You know how Mark loves to say immediately? He couldn't say it this time. Because Jesus was doing something deeper. Through this man's participation in the process of God. Can you hear me? That took time. Oh, that's hard. In the twinkling of an eye, I was saved when I was somewhere 5, 6, 7 years old. But I've been growing in the grace of our Lord and Savior ever since. Amen? Amen. So there's at least three truths related to God's processes of redeeming this world. Number one, the pain of the process. Number two, the plan of the process. And number three, the product of the process. Number one, the pain of the process. Are you in any process right now? Oh, it hurts. We would do anything to avoid the pain of the process that we are in. We will take pills. We will place our hope in a quick fix. We will do anything to buy into the lie that this can be done easily. Because we are so bad at enduring the pain of the process. It's because we don't like to wait. That's why we live in the world we're living in, because we've created instant solutions to life's problems, but there are no shortcuts. Well, look at the Old Testament. Everything had a process. All the worship things that had to do with worship and the temple and holiness and cleanliness. It was all a beautiful process. And we'll just look at Noah in the ark. God laid out a process for Noah to observe. He said, I want you to go out and get some gopher wood, and I want you to cut the lengths of the wood. I want you to make the ark this big by this wide, this long, this deep, and I want you to, and he just was an intricate plan and a process. Now, God could have, are you with me here? God could have made the ark. And don't we pray for God to make the ark in our lives? I need saved now. Lord, make an ark. And God says, I've given you the plan. Woo! Yeah! This was a very deliberate teaching opportunity for the disciples to observe and understand that there are two stages of development. One is to receive the free gift of faith, and the second one is to walk in obedience in that faith. I can be saved by simply receiving the gift of faith. It is a free gift, not by works, lest any man should boast. But then, James, that James, what a burr in our saddle when he says, because faith without works is dead. Are you feeling any pain in the process right now? The pain is from two things. One, we're all living in a sin-fallen world. We are the recipients of the sins, the effects of the sins of others. Making wrong decisions, that it just happens, and they are the beneficiaries of the sins we've committed indirectly. The second thing is, the pain is from growth as we change to become more like Jesus. You see, Brother Larry, I can't take something that's near and dear to you and replace it with something better without causing you some pain. Number two, the plan of the process. Not only did God lay out the plans for Noah for the building of the ark, but God had Noah name the animals. And so Noah had to get real creative. He had to exercise the divine image that he was created in creating names for the animals. Can you hear me? He had to participate in the process of God. And as he participated, well, we talked about practice making not perfect, but practice makes permanent. Amen? So as we receive our faith and then practice our faith, we are making, God is making permanent. Well, what's he doing? He's replacing the carnal parts of me with the holy image of Jesus Christ. And oh, that's beautifully painful. It's spiritual surgery that I'm consenting to and allowing him to take out the old and put in the new. Our participation in the process changes our priorities from worldly to holy. And as he does, our priorities are cleansed, and rearranged. As he's doing this, and we participate voluntarily in the process, what he is giving me in return is solid and sustainable because it's him in me. Amen. Amen. And finally, the product of the process. By the way, Steve texted me earlier this week and he said, I just heard today, are you a Christian by addition or submission? And I think that really speaks into what we're talking about today. That we could wrongly understand that Jesus is an add-on to everything in my life. But that's not what Jesus is teaching. It's a submission to his lordship. Finally, the product of the process, it's patience and praise. You see, Jesus was developing his disciples at the rate that they could take it and still survive. Can you hear me? That's why I think sometimes when we feel like we're about to not make it, that's a blessing. Amen? Because he's taking us on a journey of growth at the very rate that we can still survive it. The disciples weren't ready for the whole thing all at once. They would have probably melted down. But every step along the way, as they heard with their ears and seen with their eyes, and then they began to walk in faith and obedience, it became permanent. Because practice makes permanent. Finally, Jesus says, "Do you not perceive or understand?" I want to encourage us this morning to study the revelations that God has given each of us as individuals. Do you still not understand? Jesus said. And then Jesus asked him a pretty bold question that I think maybe I might get offended at if he were to ask me. Is your heart hard, John? Where's the excitement? Where's the joy, John? You see, we can cognitively get it at a point, but it's not until it goes all the way into the heart, which requires submission to his lordship, that the joy happens. Jesus repeats the phrase, "Do you have eyes but fail to see, ears but fail to hear?" Let's not just look at the events that we're seeing and think that that's all there is to it. God putting bread on my table, praise God. Jesus said, it's not so much about the bread. What's the deeper point? Yeah. The bread of life. The living bread. The bread for everything you and I need. Both here, temporarily, and for eternity. So let's not think of this as merely a way of getting a quick, good, free meal. Jesus said, understand that I am the source of everything you will ever need in your life. Amen. Finally, do you not remember? Look back at what's happened and recognize. I would venture to say that God's done at least 23 miracles in your life. Let's not look at him and say, can you give me one little sign? Jesus said, oh, are you still not getting it? Worship team, would you come? If you were on a map today, Jesus would say, you are here. But here is not where you're supposed to finish. You are here because there are next steps for you to take. And it's not more head knowledge for most of us. It's obedience. Obedience. To actually put all of our trust in Jesus Christ as Lord. Praise his name. Father, thank you for drawing us through this event to think about your provision. But Lord, you have opened this story to help us see more than we thought we were going to see. This is about our participation in your process. And Lord, count us in. Yes. Count me in, Lord. I'll be willing to endure the pain. That's so easily said. Lord, help me understand. Yes. Yes. And help me walk in faith and obedience to you. Help me, Lord, to stay with the process and develop in spiritual maturity. Help me, Lord, that the work that you've begun in me will be carried on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Yes. Continue your deep work in all of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you stand one more time and worship with us?
The lion of Judah, he's roaring with power stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Come on!
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is a Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Look, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. God bless you guys. God bless your process this week. Yes.